Is there a place for fundoscopy in urgent care? Hello and welcome to this week's Urgent Bite, brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose and today we're looking at fundoscopy. Fundoscopy enables us to visualise the only externally visible part of the central nervous system. There are a variety of ways in which the fundus can be seen. We have the traditional ophthalmoscope, with which most of us will have been trained at medical school, to perform direct fundoscopy, with the older ophthalmoscopes having been superseded in terms of ease of use and field of view by the panoptic ophthalmoscope. Both types of ophthalmoscope can be used alongside dilation of the pupil in an ideal world, but in most primary care settings they are used without dilation. Ophthalmologists are trained in indirect fundoscopy, which uses lenses to see a wider view of the retina. And finally, retinal photography has been around since the 90s, and with or without dilation provide pictures of the fundus. So why might you want to look at a fundus? I guess that depends on what branch of medicine you specialise in. But seeing as this is an urgent care podcast, the most likely reason we would be performing fundoscopy is to check for the presence of papilledema in the context of headache. Papilledema is swelling of the optic disc and is caused by raised intracranial pressure. Headache is a common presenting complaint to urgent care, so identifying the presence of papilledema could help differentiate a serious headache from a less sinister one. Given the fact it can reveal important information, is fundoscopy performed regularly? Well, it is listed number 2 on Stanford 25, a list of 25 bedside skills that Stanford feel are under or poorly performed. And indeed, there are studies that show doctors from multiple specialties fail to perform the test. For example, a retrospective study from a USA hospital published in the journal Frontiers of Neurology in 2015 found that only 25% of patients presenting with headache had fundoscopy performed. Internal medicine specialists performed it 11% of the time, ED 20%, and neurology 43%. And in regards to whether we actually see pathology when we look for it, the PhotoED study found that pathology was missed in 82% of cases when ED physicians used direct ophthalmoscopy. So it seems we don't do it very often, and when we do, we're not very good at it. So what does that mean for it as a test, and what should we do when we get a patient with headache in our urgent care clinics? Well, patients for whom red flag symptoms for headache exist should be referred, regardless of what their fundi look like. Likewise, any concerning ocular condition that is suspected from history or other clinical findings should not be excluded by virtue of our skills with an ophthalmoscope. Referral for specialist review is indicated in these cases too. But in the setting of headache and the absence of red flag symptoms, would you feel comfortable in your ophthalmoscope abilities to state that no papilledema is present? The PhotoED study would suggest that we cannot have that confidence, but does that mean we should not at least look? As the Canadian ice hockey player Wayne Gretzky once said, we miss 100% of the shots we do not take. So we will miss 100% of papilledema if we do not look. So the 18% that the ED physicians did pick up is certainly better than the 0% you would pick up from never looking. And of course, if you make it your practice to always look, you will develop more familiarity with the exam and maintain your skills. Not doing something is a surefire way to de-skill. But if there was an alternative, not doing something in favour of a better way is called progress. But is there a better way? Well, what about digital retinal photography? The photo ED study showed that ED physicians looked at retinal photographs 45% of times, unlike 20% of the time with the ophthalmoscope, which seems to suggest that they preferred this method of examination, and they identified abnormalities in 67% of cases. So would you consider referring your patients for retinal photography to exclude papilledema? Bearing in mind there's of course an access and cost implication for this, which might be prohibitive. Now the pan-optic ophthalmoscope that I have has the potential for a smartphone attachment in order to take retinal photographs within your clinic. Is this a viable alternative to direct fundoscopy? A recent study in the Journal of Clinical Ophthalmology looked at medical students' ability to visualize the optic disc using traditional and smartphone fundoscopy. The smartphone achieved better results, 82% versus 43%, and this sort of technology opens up the potential for second opinions via telemedicine services, and it's certainly more convenient than referring to an optometrist for more formal retinal pictures. But are they as clear? It's also worth mentioning that another way to assess for papilledema is with point-of-care ultrasound. Now, as ultrasound becomes more prevalent in urgent care in the coming years, this will become another option to consider, but I would imagine it's not available to many of you at the moment. So, is it time for us to progress away from direct ophthalmoscopy and utilise the ever-advancing digital retinal photography? If so, which patients do you refer for this exam versus an acute referral to hospital? Well, like I said before, a sinister headache needs referring regardless of their fundi, but maybe we see someone whose headache does not meet same-day referral requirements, but they have seen their GP a few times and now come to you in urgent care one weekend. Perhaps we should be photographing these patients' optic discs rather than using an instrument that misses 82% of pathology. So let us know what your thoughts are on this issue. Do you routinely perform fundoscopy? And if so, are you confident in your ability? Do you utilise retinal photography via smartphone or optometrist referral, or are you trained in point-of-care ultrasound to evaluate the disc? And maybe you feel happy with a non-sinister headache and otherwise normal neuro exam to forgo fundoscopy altogether. Email your thoughts to podcast@rnzcuc.org.nz and we will revisit this topic in the future. In the meantime, I've linked to the studies I've mentioned here and they are all worth reading and available in the show notes. Also, have a read of the attached paper, Ophthalmoscopy in the 21st Century, which is a thorough look at the topic in general. And I've also linked to the Stanford 25 website, which has a video and summary of the correct way to perform direct fundoscopy, for those of you who still do it. Now we'll be back next week with another podcast. I look forward to seeing you all then, but for now, thanks for listening. The information discussed in this podcast was intended for the ongoing professional development of qualified health professionals and should not be used for self-diagnosis. For any personal medical concerns, please consult your usual doctor.